Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
This is something I really want to start out with today because we're bringing so much news, and a lot of news that comes to you, it just seems there's no reprieve. It seems kind of negative, but we're talking specifically about what God is laying on our heart to be able to share with you a biblical perspective of the news. And we talk about, you know, we're seeing some pretty bad things happen on the face of the earth, but also if you would hear our programs, you would hear us talk about, you know, it's going to be the best of times and the worst of times. I mean, you think about that sometimes you got a mother has to go through labor before she can have the celebration of her child. Well, you know, a lot of people tell, you know, the first time mothers is like, it'll be a breeze, you know, and then they go through labor and they go, it was not a breeze. I mean, I'm glad it's over with, glad I had the children. But she had to go this birthing process that begins to take place, you know, to be able to have the joy of having a daughter or having a son. Well, I mean, everything's like that. The Lord talks about the earth is going through birthing pains and that, you know, the rocks will cry out, and that Jesus said in his ministry, and he knew that his ministry was going to end when he's talking with the disciples on a cross and begin again when he was raised from the dead. He knew that was going to take place. But yet he was joyful. He talked about the goodness of the Father and how God loves us and God wants to forgive us through him. And that if we believe in him, that we can have salvation. But yet, with all this joy and all this happiness, and you know, he knew that he would have to take on the sins of the world, not just the physical pain of the cross and going through that, but all of our sin was going to be put on him. A man who knew no sin took on all of our sin. I mean, just think about that. Normally, when we go through things, you know, it's because we caused it. You know, we've made a mistake, or we didn't hear clearly. Not always, but quite often. But Jesus didn't make any mistakes. But yet he went through a difficult time. And I want to encourage you today that as you're here, because we're going to talk about some things that are being said, you know, for 2016, what ISIS is thinking they're going to do across the world in different cities around the world. You know, what's happening to children in regards to ISIS, but also the attack has been assessed, or the threat assessment that's been taking place on America by those who assess those kind of things coming, and it just gives us some perspective of what's going on. But understand, how often have you just seen people just stuck when God is talking to us, and you hear people not responding to his voice, right? Or you hear, you know, that you have people that you know they need to do the right thing, but they're just not listening. They just keep on doing the wrong thing. They just keep on doing the evil thing or the thing that God told them not to do. And it's like they can't get shaken out of it. But guess what? When the world starts to shake, and then your job starts to shake, and your money starts to shake, and the floods in Texas, and the earthquakes, and in terrorists, I mean, you think about it. You know, terrorism is about stirring up fear. Because if it was an army that could really do something and defeat something, it would just go defeat something. But this is just a whole bunch of agitating, you know, evil minded folks that are creating fear, terror. And Jesus tells us not to be terrorized. Don't give in to that particular terror. But understand, something's happening in the context of this, and what God is wanting to do, God is wanting to bless the world. God is wanting to bring salvation to mankind. And I want to encourage you, when you hear all these things that we're sharing, that there is good times in the midst of all this, but also great times are coming. I believe the greatest harvest that the world has ever seen in the church is going to take place. It's going to be powerful. But I think about that quite often, that I know it's difficult to hear these things, but we need to hear them, but understand Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set on the other side. You think about that. Are we willing to endure the cross, go through this thing? And it's going to be, I believe 2016 is going to be a lot of challenges, a lot of more shiftings that took place in 2015. And I believe people are kind of taking their last stand, but it's going to end up really, really good for the church in this whole process in this long run. So I want to encourage you that you know, yes, it can be the worst of times, but simultaneously it can be the best of times when we're in Christ. Isn't that something? You think about that, Steve? Isn't that true?
Absolutely. You know, when you think about it, as you even just recalled, like there's hard times. Think about the Israelites. Remember when they were just coming out of Egypt and they were walking up to the Red Sea? It seemed like they had no other options. Isn't it interesting that there was an army coming against them? It seemed like they had no other options. But when they looked at their situation that they were presently in, what they didn't know is that God had a plan. And regardless of what we see or what is happening right now in our present state, mm-hmm. is we have to remind ourselves is that God is still in control. And it's regardless of what men conspire to do in their hearts or what we see across the face of the earth, these are those moments when you're going to see crowds and crowds and thousands of people and nations looking up and crying out to God, and you're going to see God has been in control the entire time.
You think about it. I mean, the moment that, you know, God was allowing his servant Nebuchadnezzar, the mm-hmm. leader of Babylon, to come in and take Israel, I mean, the moment he was doing that, he put on Nebuchadnezzar's heart mm-hmm. to draw, I want you to go gather all the wise men to come and serve you over in Babylon,
yeah,
which is not a good place, not a godly place. But one of those was Daniel. I mean, immediately, as it looked like the worst things were going on, they were going into the temple, taking all the treasures, you know, tearing down the city, you mm-hmm. know, all these different things. And simultaneously, God was working out a redemption plan for a people who would not listen.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can know, hey, if we go through a season, we just can't seem to get it. God has a way to teach us to do that. But within 2 years, God was going to give you know, Daniel time to be able to learn the culture, learn the language, be able to show his, you know, that I can walk rightly before you and God without denying God. I cannot eat the king's food. But in 24 months, that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
In 36 months, God knew he was going to talk to the king. He was going to talk to his servant, Nebuchadnezzar. His servant, that's what it says. And he's going to tell him something that so stirred him, it didn't matter how much money he had, how much power he had, how many wise people he had around him. The only person that was going to have the answer to that political leader's problems was going to be the man that he mm-hmm. that God put on his heart to send for in the very beginning when they were stealing all the treasures of the temple, Daniel. He gives him a dream. Nobody can interpret it. He calls Daniel in because everybody knew that Daniel could do it, because Daniel said, I know I can't, but God can interpret dreams. God set all that up, every mm-hmm. bit of that up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. So God, right now, we're about to go to break, but understand, God is doing something powerful. And it'll be some of the greatest days for the church. You have to understand, church is not what the corporations that America's made it out to be. Church is people, relationships. You know, we're two or more gathered in my name. There I'm in the midst of us. And we'll be talking more about that, I believe, in our next program coming up tomorrow. So make sure you catch that. But the church itself is going to thrive. You know, all of our stuff and all of our things and, you know, some of the thing that was just said just last night, yesterday at the Morningstar New Year's conference, or just recently, is China's going to filter, the China church is going to filter out all the things, all the trash, all the stuff that's been added to the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the gospel's not going to go away, but all the stuff that we've added to it. It's amazing the things that people have added to it. It is amazing when you hear, you know, as God begins to unfold things, you see things are happening, and you've been paying attention and listening the best you can to God and watching how all those things line up. And you're going, thank God. Thank God that we, you know, held the course and mm-hmm. listened when nobody was listening to Jeremiah. But Jeremiah was right, you know. Few people were listening at certain times, but they were right. Jonah was right,
mm-hmm.
But Nineveh actually listened to them.
Stayed faithful to God.
Yeah. So Jason Taylor has this article he just came out with, and he's writing about how ISIS has made a plan for 2016. And in this particular plan, if I have it over here, he said that they have a strategy they're wanting to exercise. And remember this, you know, Goliath's plan was not to have a rock thrown in the center of his head mm-hmm. and killed. And his plan was not to be beheaded by David, King David, but that was in God's plans. But this thing that was threatening an entire nation manifested. Everybody was hiding from Goliath. I mean, everybody, including the king, King Saul, was hiding. They don't. Oh, I don't know what to do with this terrorist thing. I don't know what to do with this problem. And so when you hear these type of things that we're going to be talking about, you know, this is like Goliath just yelling. You know, send out your dog, send out your best man. You know, and that's when David went out with a slingshot, 5 rocks, and took down a national security issue. It was Goliath, and everybody, all the military was hiding behind rocks. The king himself wouldn't even put on his own armor. And David went out there because he understood that this is not of God. This is not a right thing to do. You know, who is this uncircumcised Philistine, somebody that's not of God, to come against the armies of God? That's what he said. And so when you see these kind of things, think of it that way. Think of, understand that God loves you. God loves mankind. God wants to redeem us. And that we have to look for what his redeeming qualities and things that are taking place. Am I supposed to be a David in this? You know, we're never supposed to be a Goliath. Am I hiding behind a rock and I shouldn't be hiding behind a rock? You know, am I trying to put the old traditional armor on David when all David needs to do is trust God and go out there? And he just ran out there to it. But he says, you know, in this particular article, he says, ISIS is planning on a massacre, this is 2016, ISIS is planning to massacre thousands of civilians in public places around the world in 2016 as it desperately seeks to draw the West into a titanic final battle. And we talk about this, you know, several times about their theology and what radical Islam, you know, it believes the Quran, but that, you know, they're trying, they believe this battle is going to bring to pass their particular, you know, their savior, and which is not Jesus Christ. And, but it's going to take chaos. It's going to take war. It's going to take bloodshed. And they're wanting, based on, you know, what they're saying here and what they've said and what other people who studied them is, they want everybody to go there and fight, you know, fight in that region. And they call everybody a Christian, you know, basically, but a Jew or a Christian, but titles us all, you know, as quote infidels, which is an unbeliever in, you know, Islam. But this particular plan that they have strategizing for 2016 to be able to go around to these other nations and cities, and it goes on to say, you know, the Sikh terror groups will activate hundreds of sleeper cells in dozens of countries in an unprecedented bid to destabilize Western governments and spark a huge military retaliation in the Middle East. And I'm saying this because this kind of lines up with what the Lord's been telling us. When you heard what we talked about in Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, was given a dream, and in that dream, Lord, he specifically saw coming over the southern borders, terrorists, and throughout our nation, kind of scattered around. Others have seen that as well. You know, Pastor Kichara from
Texas,
Bradford, that Lord showed her very specifically that, you know, everybody is going to be confronted with this thing, spirit, you know, this whole thing, you know, what are we going to do with this thing? And so that's why I'm telling you about it, that this God could be letting you know this is what's happening, this is what's going on. And it kind of lines up. But he said, this is one thing that, you know, Rick Joyner had saw in this prophetic dream was, it was worse than ISIS. I don't know how much worse you can get.
Well, when you think about it, like you're saying, that they're trying to provoke a fight, they're trying to provoke a war and bring everybody over to the Middle East. And you just can't help but recall, it's like that bully on the playground. He's trying to pick a fight.
Right.
And not getting caught up in the anger and the strife, but responding peacefully. Responding, it's like I'm not going to get caught up in all of that strife and that division, because that's their plan. That they want you to come over there and go on their area where they are now.
You know, and I did see. You know, I saw. I believe there were a group of American Muslims that were standing out in the streets, and they were protesting a particular political candidate that was saying things that was derogatory towards Islam, they felt like, which that's their prerogative to do. I thought, well, that's great, because now Muslims that are not part of radical Islam are going to begin to stand up and protest against these things like this. But I haven't seen that. You haven't seen people saying this is not right in the streets with big signs and saying, you know, but that happens with a political situation when somebody says something derogatory against Islam. And it's like, why doesn't that happen in the streets? Why are people out in the streets saying, with signs going, you know, we are Muslim, but we don't support that. That's they twisted our faith. I mean, you hear that privately, you hear that from CARE, you hear that from organized speakers, but you don't hear that from the everyday American saying that. And that would be a way to intellectually defeat the enemy versus like you're getting caught up in anger and trying to do something when they're trying to pull you into that. But he goes on to say, he says the shot claim from one of the world's leading authorities on this death cult comes amid the New Year's Eve terror plot in London and other major cities. You know, they had to close down several events throughout the world because of these terror plots and threats and that type of thing. He says in 2016, ISIS wanted to show its global, in 2016, it's wanting to show its global reach from cells to lone wolves to bedroom jihadists to target landmarks and crowds in dozens of countries across the world, according to, you know, Dr. Theodore Karosky. And it's like, you know, I pray that doesn't happen. And but the things, how, you know, there's an environment that appears to be conducive towards supporting the whole idea, you know, and not just coming against the whole idea.
Right.
And in regards to our leadership.
Right. Well, it's like we've talked about many times before on this program. It's the question is, why are we continuing to hear leadership making statements about ISIL instead of just saying, well, initially they started off as just IS, the Islamic State. And it's like, where was that aggressive response and the moment when they first acknowledged their existence to remove it? But instead, we've come into agreement with the...
There was 17 months without taking out its money source.
Exactly.
And, you know, you served duty over there for
exactly.
us. You fought for us. And can you imagine, I guess you can, you know, having a government that appears based in your adversary's eyes that they're not for you fully, what's going on. But yet every day your life is at risk. Every
Absolutely.
Day, what am I fighting for? Yeah. What is the goal of this thing?
And that's the difficult thing to just really try to comprehend, because according to reports right now is that ISIS total, I don't want to say total, but it's like one of their driving forces is to cause people to respond to their provoking to come over to the Middle East so they can have American boots on the ground so that they can capture people and raise more money. And it's like, we've talked about the amount of funds that ISIS is raising just due, I can't remember the exact word, but they're taking people hostage and then they're raising funds.
Ransom.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. They're raising so many funds based off of ransom. And that's the whole reason why they want to get American and British forces to come more over to where the Middle East is so that they can capture more people.
Yeah. And you know, so, you know, one of the big ways that you hear some people talking about, but not our lead leaders, is, you know, this is a war within Islam, you know, that they have to go through some sort of reformation, you know, quietly saying you don't agree with it. But statistics say in Indonesia, which is the biggest, and we're going to talk about that in after this break, that which they just beat a woman and a man because they actually kissed or hugged in a public place, that high over 50-60% embrace Sharia law. And so there is a lot of agreement and empathy going on with some of the interpretations for, you know, Muslims that are not involved in that, because you would just stand up. I mean, you would just stand up and go, that's just not right. That's not it. Well, when we get back from this particular break, you know, we're going to talk more about this, but one thing we're going to talk about is this couple in Indonesia. We'll make the whole article available to you that I was just reading from, because it talks about a plan for, you know, cells and lone wolves and these different things taking place that, you know, and what you've heard continually is every time something happens, this is what you hear. We had no intelligence and no knowledge that this was about to happen. So that kind of helps you understand you got to turn to the Lord, because whether that's true or not, that's what they're going to say. Is that we weren't aware of this. Mm-hmm. And obviously, if they were and their desire is to protect the homeland, then they would actually do something about it. And a lot of things are being prevented by our law enforcement. But this particular offer is so important, because the first thing the president of France said when this, you know, this huge attack, it was at four different locations, I believe, terrorist attacks there, he said, this is an act of war. I mean, this is an act of war. He immediately closed down the borders. And that's before, you know, global leaders had a chat with him and he kind of changed his verbiage. But that's exactly what he said. That's exactly what he did. And the big question is, you know, is this World War III, have we began to unfold? You know, it's just going to look so different, because this is a different day and a different age.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.